Welcome to the Only Elite Podcast.
What the fuck?
Yeah, strong start. So, oh, that we have, we're, wow. Okay, we're louder now than we were when we were testing
it. Because you just yelled.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
We're not going to fuck around here too much. We're going to jump right into our review of All Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing pay-per-view that just happened, like 15 minutes ago we got done with it?
Yes.
Just a quick plug. We are out on, like, pretty much every podcast platform now. Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts now.
Yep.
We're on Spotify. Mm-hmm. All the major ones. We are there.
True.
So, if you find this on Anchor, which we're at right now, it's our kind of our hub.
Yeah.
You know? Check us out elsewhere if you like your podcast elsewhere to make it easy for yourself. So, that's enough about us. Let's get right into the review.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, overall thoughts?
Overall thoughts?
Shut up.
And you're late.
Overall thoughts. What are your overall thoughts?
It was a very, very strong show in terms of in-ring quality. There's definitely some technical stuff that will be worked out as they get more experience with the people they have and what have you. Some cameras, shots missing important things. The music pinfall botch at the end of the women's match, a few little things.
Did they play
the
music or was it just the bell?
Oh, there was the music.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I didn't catch the music.
Yeah. Okay. Like for a hot second.
Our first match was you saw more of this than I did.
Yeah.
I caught like the last 5-6 minutes of the Casino Battle Royale.
Yep. And
so do you want to quickly cover that? We don't need to go over every single elimination or anything like that, but the highlights.
No. You had the different groups, and so you had the, like, Freeman and all these others. It was interesting when they started the pre-show, they already did the first group, so I kind of felt like I may have missed something, but right when the pre-show started, there was already 5 wrestlers in the ring already getting after it. So, it was, definitely a strong battle royal. I mean, similar to All In in terms of they are just good at coming up with interesting shit to happen in these battle royals, just besides, oh, this guy went over the top rope and now this guy
can went we over give the grades
top. I guess we haven't decided how we're
I think handling. We should do that,
so we're doing grades A through F.
let's do grades.
Okay. Usually,
do we have A pluses?
I was going to say, usually this is the kind of thing that a professional podcast would do beforehand, but we just decided to jump in this damn
thing. We're doing
thing,
it right
so,
now. We're gonna grade this on the fly today.
Sure. Some of the highlights of it was the sick bump that Joey Janela took onto his fucking neck through a table.
From which, Luchasaurus.
Yep.
Chokes down through a table to the outside. Also, what's his name?
Jimmy Havoc?
No, Romero guy. Not Rocky Romero.
Ace Romero.
Ace Romero. Fucking shoulder tackling Marco Stunt out of the ring. That was awesome.
Yeah, he's a big agile
master. That's a hoss.
Yeah.
That's a hoss.
And then, of course, even just for the pain factor, for the little taste of hardcore, you had Joey Janela getting a cigarette put out on his head by Jimmy Havoc.
I missed that.
You had Jimmy Havoc having fun with the staple gun, getting Tommy Dreamer in the head and
right in the testes.
Yep. You had Tommy Dreamer delivering trash can lid shots to the head.
Yep. That was
so
cool.
I mean, you had all that kind of stuff. And I will say, the only sort of downside, this was a plus and a downside. The Joker, the guy that got to come out last, was Hangman Page. And after he came out, it was like, well, it's pretty, at least in my opinion, I was like, okay, my pick of MJF is, I'm 98% sure it's gone out the fucking window. It's
Hangman Page. That was exactly my exact thing.
So it made it predictable, but of course, also sometimes predictable in a battle royal is good. It's not...
While I'm glad Hangman Page did win it, because I want him to be in the title match, you know, I want that for him, and we all kind of thought that was going to be the way it was going to go anyways, I think, you know, when AEW's first announced, I think we all anticipated him to be in the main event picture, so that's cool. The only thing I was bummed out about is he didn't get a singles match. And we were told that he's getting a better match, a better replacement than Pac. Just... And so we were all expecting, you know, Moxley, basically.
Or Punk.
Or Punk something. Or something. And that didn't happen. So that's kind of a bummer that we didn't get to see him really get to... I mean, I guess he did do his single. We got to see the Pac match, so that was fine. Quick review of that match. That was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
The only thing I'm also going to say is, well, before we do the great, I completely forgot, and I just want to bring this up because I think you and I had differing opinions on this. Orange Cassidy.
Oh, I love Orange Cassidy. A couple weeks ago, I shared a thing to John and my brother Caleb, a video of Orange Cassidy doing the slow chops, the gentle chops to Christopher Daniels.
And slow Canadian destroyer.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love the shtick. I'm glad he got eliminated fast and stuff like that. I'm glad he got to come in and do his little gentle...
Gentle kicks
to Tommy Dreamer. That was awesome. So yeah, and the no-handed kick up was pretty sweet too.
Yeah, and didn't even take his hands out of his pockets the whole time. Yeah,
he did lose his sunglasses though, and he was eliminated, and he didn't even seem to give a shit.
No,
which was great. It was totally fit his character. I think I would imagine what his character is. I've only seen clips of him, but I'm a big Orange Cassidy guy.
And so now, for those who
I'm gonna be looking for more forward to him if he's part of AEW officially.
And so for if you guys, so if anybody's wanting the official
wait,
list
do this? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is everybody in the that was in the Battle Royale for the most part, besides like Glacier and like Tommy Dreamer, are they part of All Elite Wrestling? Are they on the roster, or
think,
is that just?
I think some are like the one.
Like I'm most interested in Marco Stunt.
The one
is
that,
he on the roster? I want to fucking know.
I don't know if he is officially the one I can remember off the top of my head. Besides, like you know, your Sonny Kisses, your MJFs.
Yeah.
It was established that Sean Spears.
Well, yeah,
is on the roster as well. But
oh, shout out to Dustin Thomas, which was the guy was the director of No Legs.
Yeah.
He had some cool spots. Did a 619. That was cool. Cool for him. Crowd was really behind him. Every time someone kicked him, they were booing it. They're booing the shit out of that place.
Yeah. And,
which was cool.
And, but for those who are wondering, the final four was MJF, Paige, Jimmy Havoc, and
Luchasaurus.
But, anyways, Paige ended up winning by eliminating MJF. It was sort of, they did the.
Yeah, Luchasaurus. Eliminated Jimmy Havoc.
Yep.
Adam Page eliminated Luchasaurus by like pulling down the rope.
Yep.
And then MJF comes in, tries to throw Hangman over. Hangman rebounds. MJF doesn't realize this, thinks he's won it. Comes
buckshot
lariat, tosses him out of the ring. Hangman pitches your winner. Final grade, John. I give it a C+.
I give it a solid C. It was okay. Solid. I will say if I had to judge this between this and the All In Battle Royal, and I. We'll say the caveat, we were there, so there may be some bias, but I liked the All-In Battle Royal more.
I thought this had more fun spots, though, which is why I liked it. The only reason I give it a C+ is because...
It's a Battle Royal?
It's a Battle Royal. There wasn't a whole lot of wrestling. But if we're talking about just in the scope of Battle Royals and Battle Royals only, we're not comparing it to anything else, then it's like a solid B+.
Okay.
But all in general, C+. There's lots of cool moments. I liked the winner. I liked the finish. There was again lots of cool stuff. Lots of guys that I liked were in it. Some fun surprises. Like, yeah, good stuff.
Okay, and so then the next match in the Battle Royal, in the pre-show, was Sammy Guevara versus Kip Sabian. I was unfamiliar with both of them except for the limited stuff of Sammy that was in BTE and the press conference and that kind of thing.
Yep. Also, I was the same way. I think I have seen a Sammy Guevara match here or there, but I wasn't familiar with it. Like I wouldn't have been able to tell you what his finisher was or nothing like that. In fact, I still don't know what his finisher is. But I'm pretty sure I've seen him wrestle before. Kip Sabian I had never even heard of. But I was thoroughly impressed.
I think Sammy's is the 630 splash that he tried to go for.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. That would, yeah. That makes
but
sense.
But it was just...
Did they just call it the 630 or do they have a cool name for it?
630 Splash. Okay. Because
that's fine.
A hell of a lot of rotations.
Yeah.
But
a hell of a lot of rotations.
But it was just a great standard match that went about 10 minutes. I can't necessarily point to anything...
There was a cool spot when...
the barricade?
Yeah, the barricade. Kip Sabian was draped over the barricade on the outside, and Sammy Guevara did a
shooting star press
onto his back when he was draped over the barricade. That was really cool. Obviously, seeing the 630 was cool, but Kip Sabian got the knees up.
And hit him with a split-legged kind of slam, burning hammer.
Yeah, it was like almost like an inverted Michinoku driver, it looked like to me. Or a weird Falcon Arrow. I don't know, but it was cool. It was a good match. I really liked it. Solid match. Nothing special, I wouldn't say. I don't think this is a groundbreaking performance for either one of these two, but it was good. I didn't not like it. I wasn't bored with it, but I wasn't like enthralled in it either. And that could possibly be because we're not familiar with them.
Again, it's pre-show as well. So
yes, I'd give it a C+ as well.
I'd say C as well. I'd say
It's right in the middle. I think it was better than average. It's better than your average WWE match that's just on TV. It's better than most pay-per-view matches, too, honestly.
I'd say the first technical sort of odd thing then shortly afterwards happened. Yeah, the Elite guys come out and welcome everybody to the show. They're promoting things up, talking about being a sensory-inclusive event, all that blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then as Cody's talking about to say something, the screen just goes to black.
For a long time.
We're like, what the...
I honestly thought something happened with the feed and like it was just done. But they were just transitioning into the...
Pay-per-view thing. Proper. So
they went over minor time.
Minor thing. But kind of like what happened at All In with the pre-show. They got that one right in under the wire, too.
What happened next?
Next was the beginning of the actual show. We had the... National Anthem of Hell.
Oh, God. That National Anthem was garbage. Oh, my Lord. That was hard to sit through. I don't know if they know what harmonizing was. And that guy was on Hamilton. And I thought he was the worst one. Oh, that was just awful.
But,
I liked the one at All In much better. She was really good. But this trio was just from... AT double hockey sticks.
And the opening match that we had was SCU.
Oh, right.
Versus
Shima and versus the Strong Hearts.
Yes.
Which is...
Shima, T-Hawk, and L. Lindemann.
Lindemann was the one I was trying to think of.
SCU did their bit. There was a little bit of a Freddie Mercury-ness with Christopher Daniels because he had the Freddie Mercury mic stand kind of thing.
Yeah,
Standard SCU opening promo.
Standout of this match for Scorpio Sky for me.
Yeah, and then this was also, for people who were paying attention, this was the first time they got to sort of explain that one thing that they're doing in different rules than other companies to emphasize the tag wrestling is that opponents can be in for a 10-second count rather than a 5 without getting DQ'd. So there will be a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a lot of fuckery going on all at once, like a lot of chaos.
And that's...
A lot of stuff that people shit on New Japan tag matches for. And so that kind of knocked it down for me a little bit in my final grade. Also, was not entirely impressed with Shima and the Strong Hearts. There wasn't a moment for them that was like, holy shit, that was awesome, or these guys are great. I didn't have any of that. The match was really cool, but I felt like SCU kind of carried it. It was very fast-paced. It was a constant, things were happening. There wasn't like a lot of rest holds under that. It was just kind of go, go, go.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like adrenaline fuel. There wasn't a ton of life for some reason, it didn't feel like. So I feel like SCU carried this match, especially Scorpio Sky. He really... brought out his A game, and so I thought he was the MVP of the match. Nothing stood out for me from the OWE guys for me.
I mean, but we'll see what happens with them. Daniels and Kazarian end up winning by hitting the best Meltzer ever on Lindemann, and they got the pin.
They said Lindemann was the less experienced of the trio as well.
He's only been working with us for 5 years. Yeah, that made him.
He was mini Crash Holly.
Yeah, kind of.
Or mini Jack Suzuki was what we were saying.
Right. So
Lindemann took the pin. Final grade.
I don't know. I'd probably have to give that like a C. I feel like I keep saying C, but it was.
C plus.
I'd say maybe a C to C minus. It was, you know, it was.
Yeah, I guess I. You know what? I'm gonna go C.
Okay.
I'm gonna go C.
Now here comes the first big surprise of the night, which there were many. They got set up for the women's triple threat, and before the match could get started, Brandi Rhodes came out, and she happened to be wearing wrestling gear, and so we're like, oh, Jesus.
This was also our first mark-out moment of the show.
Is she going to insert herself into the match? And she said, no, I said this match could be good, could be great even, but I want it to be awesome.
The Miz!
No, Q Awesome Kong.
A.K.A. Karma.
Yeah, she's
from her short-lived stint in WWE, and mostly known for TNA and Impact.
And
Marked out big time for Awesome
Kong. And I missed
Kong.
This line because we were marking out of it, but apparently Marvez did come in with the nice joke of saying, suddenly Nyla Rose has become the cruiserweight of the match.
Yeah.
But
I didn't hear that either. Yeah, we were marking out real hard. That was great.
It was definitely. I don't even know how to describe
this match. It
is
hot in here.
It was a. It was an interesting match. There tend to be sort of the standard thing of Nyla and Kong having moments of getting to be dominant, but Britt and Kylie had their moments of basically equalizing the larger women, either by spearing them through the ring steps or all that kind of stuff, or making them or pulling down the ropes to tumble down to ringside. So it was just a bunch of ingenuity for keeping the ladies out.
There's a really cool Tower of Doom spot.
Yes.
That seemed believable. Usually I don't like those spots, but for Awesome Kong, it seemed believable that she could actually fucking do that.
Well,
and pull those people down and shit.
Two things about.
And she didn't end up on her ass.
Yes, that's. But this is getting into something else, but my biggest pet peeve with the Tower of Doom, that the person at the bottom always passes out. And I get maybe it's trying to sell physical exertion, but there's never been a time I've lifted or thrown anything, and I'm just like, oh, and down I go.
Yeah. And then you're out for a while, like you just got slammed.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, so that spot was cool. Not much else to say about it. I mean, obviously the star of it, for me, was Awesome Con, because it was marked out hard for her. Happy Britt, we were wrong in our predictions, but I was happy Britt Baker picked up the win here.
Yep, she got a shoulder break over Kylie Rae.
Yep.
So
that was cool. Yeah, final grade. I'm gonna go C on this one. You know what? Not now that I'm saying my grades out loud, I'm not that hot on this pay per view.
The
first half, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's,
I liked it overall.
I think it's also a show of pacing. Like, you want to build it towards a crescendo, so I mean, it makes sense to stick this maybe where the crowd is still at its hottest because there's still something to see. But I'd say. Yeah, I'd probably say C with that. It wasn't negative. For me, this was this one, I'm very interested in how the hell you're even going to review this. But the next match was Jack Evans and Angelico versus the Best Friends, Loretta and Chucky T. Situations of silly string and children bullshit.
I missed 90% of this match due to silly string. So, I'm going to have grade redacted from this one.
Okay. there was just a Taylor. Jack Evans, I never heard of him before this match. He kind of has a little bit of cockiness to it, where Angelico has a cool sort of suaveness
Levioso.
To it, so it was an interesting between the two. But there was just, trying to think some of the more interesting things. I mean, there was a very good Falcon arrow that Taylor hit. I'm always a sucker for a good Falcon arrow. You know, even a nice there was a nice slice bread on in Helico at ringside, and eventually double stomped him right in the back. I'm trying to think of the best way to even describe this, because there was just so much action between the two. But basically, Taylor ended up near the end, caught Evans right on the ropes and put him on his shoulder, and there was a nice doomsday device from there. Beretta in the end ended up picking up Evans and held him beneath him while Taylor performed that double stomp, which led him to getting the pinfall victory. For this match, I would end up giving it a B-. This was my favorite thing, at least up until this point. Now, here's the part where this was maybe the first WTF moment of the night. After the match, the best friends try to offer hugs. They want to hug Evans and Angelico. They were hugging, and then all of a sudden the lights went out. When the lights turned on, these two guys showed up that we had no idea who the hell they were.
To me, Discount War Raiders meets Discount Dalton Castle.
I thought it looked like Primate and a Pittsburgh Steeler. Then when the lights turned on, a whole bunch of these masked, I don't know, Goombas or whatever the fuck, ended up grabbing all of the guys in the tag match and started beating them up. They worked them over, so it was nine masked wrestlers.
Crowd was not into it.
Well, there was a lot of who are you chants and that kind of thing. For those who don't know, apparently they wrestled as the Super Smash Brothers. I don't know if that's going to be their name in AEW. I doubt it, because
Excalibur didn't say it. Excalibur said, I know the names of these guys, but I have something, like, he was, like, hesitant. Yeah, I'm hesitant to say it. And you're like, why? Now we know why.
And afterwards, they made a big announcement. There was an announcement video that All Out on August 31st in Chicago is going to happen.
Yes.
So there will be a sequel to All In.
August 31st.
At the Cedar Center. Tickets on sale June 14th. Okay.
Now I can talk again because I've seen these matches.
Next was the 6-woman tag match.
Oh, fuck, right.
I'm not going to talk much about this one. Yuka Sakazaki, Emi Sakura versus Hiroku Shiada, Ryu, and Ryu Mitsunami. If I butcher those names,
it's fine. They don't listen to this podcast.
Well, yeah, but smarts do.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't have much to say about this match. I was not impressed by a single person in this match. There was not a standout spot to me. I liked Aja Kong nailing that chick over the head with a waste basket. That was pretty cool. But
Aja Kong also I thought hit a very nice gut wrench pile driver that just looked, at least I thought, just looked nasty. But the best way to describe this, and maybe this affects my rating, but there was definitely some like anime-rific kind of shenanigans theatrics to this match of sorts. Like, yeah. I have a coworker that I work with that listens to anime loud in the break room. It kind of sounded like that. I am not kidding about that.
Let's skip to final grades, because I don't want to talk about this match anymore. I'm giving it a D minus.
D plus. It was...
I found it hard to give a shit about this match.
Well, I mean, it was just hard to keep up.
There was just nothing going on for me.
It was hard to keep up with it. I mean, who was legal, it just really didn't matter. And it seemed like they were working hard, and it just seemed like the fans even were more responding to the groups rather than anybody being an individual star. And then for those who maybe thought that this pay-per-view, okay, like, C's to D's, then we get Cody versus Dustin.
Yes.
Mwah!
Yeah, this was a classic old school wrestling match.
But before and we get to great. The match,
storytelling galore.
Before we get to the match, we got to talk about chair. Cody's entrance.
The chair.
Shots fucking fired, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and we called it as soon as it came out, as I'm sure everyone else did. The chair had skulls on it.
It looked like throne, a Triple H chair.
It had the cross, Triple H's kind of style cross that he uses for his designs and stuff. So we're like, this is a shot at Triple H. And then Brandy hands Cody a sledgehammer. So he really nails home, this is a dig at Triple H. And then he proceeds to smash it.
The chair with pyro going off. And
it was obviously gimmicked as shit, but it was awesome.
I don't care. And then...
that was great.
His brother made his entrance. He had the whole red and black face paint, just like he was showing in the promo videos kind of thing.
Yep.
It was just, there was a whole bunch of this is awesome, Dusty, Dustin, all this chanting right at the beginning. So already emotions are kicking in. There were teases of Cody teasing Stardust with the cartwheel pose thing. There was him doing Dustin's lay down quick uppercut kind of thing.
At some point Dustin's head gets hit by an exposed turnbuckle.
Right. It was something that Cody pulled the pad when he was trying to set him up for Shattered Dreams.
Yeah.
And so the logic was if you kick me in the nuts, you're going to be kicking the turnbuckle, which is actually pretty smart. And as he was still charging for him, Cody got down and made him go forward.
Did you just fart?
No. There's a thing back here. But anyways, he ended up slicing his frickin' forehead open.
And at one point, it was pouring like out onto the floor, and it looked chunky. He had, like, chunky blood. It was gross. Hashtag chunky blood.
Yeah, it was...
Goodbye, chunky lemon milk.
Yeah, there was all of sorts. Brandy got involved, speared Dustin at one point, got tossed out. DDP carried her out. All sorts of...
DDP missed the ramp.
yeah
he was sort of walking like right into the wall, and then he corrected himself and went back on the ramp.
There was just all sorts of goodness, just grisly brutality. It was just a wonderful story.
It's kind of hard to talk about because it was so visual, and there wasn't like a lot of spots, you know, like obviously we weren't expecting spots really in this match. It wasn't going to be like a spot fest or nothing. We knew that going in. Cody, even himself, is not that type of wrestler, really. Except for against Kota Ibushi. He really pulls it out.
Yeah, and
So it's really hard to talk about and describe, but you just really need to see it.
The sort of emotional ending of it.
You just fart again?
No, it's this thing.
What the fuck? Move that thing. Oh, there's water in it.
Why? Anyways, at the end...
It's because Ash was washing her rocks in there.
Oh my god. Anyways... Cody Cody ended up hitting his Din's fire neck breaker onto Dustin, and Hebner starts counting both men down from exhaustion. Cody gets up and stops him from counting to be like, no, we're doing it like an actual legit finish. Hits the crossroads one more time and pins him. It's an emotional match, and afterwards Cody gets to
Are you tearing up right now?
No.
You sound like you were choking up.
Cody gets Cody stands up. He's covered in blood. His brother's blood. All over the ring. It's a fucking mess. It looks like a goddamn Saw movie in there.
Cody, it was terrible.
Anyways, he ends up getting the mic and basically says, you don't get to retire here. You don't get that. Because I have to ask you a favor. And says he has a match at Fight for the Fallen.
He doesn't need a buddy. He doesn't need a partner.
It's a match against him and a partner of his choosing versus the Young Bucks.
He says, I don't need a partner. I don't need a friend.
Then his voice cracks.
And his voice cracks, and then I teared up, and he said, I need my older brother. Oh!
The feels.
Of darkness.
I will give this, and maybe it's because I'm comparing this to the other matches. Maybe that's not fair, But I will give this a solid A. This is an A.
I'm gonna go B plus. Or A minus. It's a strong B plus.
I'd say an A. I mean, it had all the intensity, drama.
There was a couple hiccups here and there in the match. I'd say to take this away had from A all the intensity but it's a strong drama B+.
That maybe the people that... I think this is also, now that I'm saying this out loud, I think this is AEW trying to be all things for all people. If there's people that just want the pure spot fest craziness,
you have that.
You have the 6-man tag with SCU. This was a good drama storytelling match from top to bottom. This was just terrific. Cause they
strong
tapped
B plus.
In, they tapped very into good. Real emotion, and this match also answered the question, will AEW allow blading? And the answer is fuck yes. Yes, abso-fucking-lutely.
Although, I'm going to say real quick, I wish this would have been Dustin's retirement match. I think it would have been a lot more impactful than a tag match, partnering with his brother, but it's fine. It's not my life, it's not my career, but as a fan, I would prefer to see this to be the way to go out.
Now,
but that's okay.
Now, for this, I'm just going to even just grade this segment, and even before I get to the segment... I'm going to give this probably a D, at least for the first half. Now, I will say, we did have some issues with my god-awful Fire Stick, but it was time to introduce...
Also, we're sponsored by Fire Stick now, so yeah. Be careful.
The piece-of-shit Fire Stick. they introduced Bret Hart to come out and present the AEW title.
But God forbid he says tonight one more time.
Bret Hart rambles... This is maybe where the whole thing of we're not going to script our promos
really hurts you.
Maybe hurts you because he talks about tonight and he defended the title in Vegas 26 years ago tonight. And
tonight
we're
going
to have the title. We're going to have a title match. No, we're not. Tonight, here's the title. I'm excited to present the title tonight. Tonight is the time of the day that I'm currently
tonight
standing
is the night.
In the ring. Tonight is the night we're going to fight. Down, everybody, down. Tonight is the night. Tonight, we're
going to... We got it, we got it.
Tonight, I'm going to rock you tonight. Okay, but they...
Oh, you didn't need to do Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. anyways, they introduced Hangman Page to come out. MJF interrupted.
This was great!
This was the part where it got better. MJF whole bunch of jokes about Bret Hart being attacked by the fan and all this other.
Yeah, that was good. His catchphrase sucked. He called Hangman Page a horse, and he said, "You know what they do to horsies? You know what they do to little horsies when they break their legs? And they basically put them down." They turn down, okay. And they shoot their little brains out. That's what they said.
And thank you
God.
For this recap to cover this part where we missed. But MJF starts heading up the ramp. Jungle Boy comes out. MJF kind of blows him off.
Yeah, this is the part where our... Wait, hold on. Just tell the fans what happened.
We didn't get to see it.
Our Fire Stick, which we're sponsored by. We're sponsored by Amazon Fire Sticks.
Okay, anyways.
It cut out, so we didn't get to see it. We saw Jungle Boy... Okay. Come out, and that was... Let me finish!
Anyway, so he's trapped
I'm done now. Wait,
Paige,
I'm done
Havoc
now.
And Jungle Boy in the entrance ramp. Havoc and Jungle Boy punched him, then Paige threw him over the barricade, and then Havoc and Jungle Boy worked over MJF. Blah, 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 blah.
Also, this week only, at Best Buy, you can get a Fire Stick for $29.99. 4K.
So if you would love to have a thing that restarts itself at the most inopportune times in the world... Get a Fire Stick or a very old Sony television that you can hit when the screen goes squiggly. That's a story for another day.
Yeah, it's for another day.
And for not this podcast, because we don't ramble on coherently about our personal lives.
We could.
Unlike some people.
Yeah! Ooh, originally. Shots fired! Oh. Shots fired, other All Elite podcast.
I'm sure you guys are nice.
Anyways, yeah, you guys are probably actually really sweethearts, but we're better than you,
so,
and you know it.
So, after that...
Oh, it got hot in here.
No, it's always been... I'm sweating! The only this was Lucha Bros versus the Young Bucks.
This is the definition of spot fest.
If you do not like spot fest, this but this match was an awesome spot fest. It just excellent tag wrestling, utilizing that 10 fucking count like a motherfucker.
Lots of Sierra Mierdos, lots of fucking Canadian Destroyers, lots of super kicks, lots of all the good stuff that you love from Taco Bell. Open till midnight or later, now delivering from GovHub. We're sponsored by Taco Bell as well.
Okay.
So there's that in there.
So if you'd like to get the shits after buying a shitty fire stick, go to Taco Bell. If you want your ass to sound like this, you can go to Taco Bell.
Te quiero, my asshole, Taco Bell.
El Diablo. Cero miedo.
Oh, that should be Taco Bell's fucking slogan. Taco Bell, cero miedo. Oh, no fear. That means no fear.
God.
So the young don't eat at Taco Bell if you're a little bitch. Sierra miedo.
So that's the so Young Bucks won.
Young Bucks won.
Surprisingly,
shock finish. Yes.
The title. A lot of people expected him to drop it.
I'm gonna go smoke. We're sponsored by Big Tobacco.
So if you like smoking after you take a shit.
Cero miedo. Cigarettes.
Puff on a ciggy. A ciggy poo. So what would you rank this match? By the way, I noticed as we're talking less and less. Okay. It's late, so I'm just going to explain.
We're very tired.
That. But as we're talking, I'm noticing we're talking less and less about the match and more about just random bullshit, and then we do a grade. So I will give this a B+.
I'm also giving it a B+.
Okay.
Moving on.
So the main event, Chris Jericho versus Kenny.
Oh,
Omega.
just for, I don't know if it was said or not, but Young Bucks retained the AAA championship.
Yeah, and they
titles.
Did it dressed like Elvis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How do we not bring that up?
Elvis Psy. I don't know what the Elvis is. I was trying to.
What's the plural of Elvis?
Elvises.
That sounds weird.
That's correct, though.
That sounds like there should be more letters.
Okay, Elvis Psy. Whatever.
We need the whiteboard. We gotta write this out.
Jericho and Kenny
no,
Omega.
No, Jericho.
Jericho.
Chris Jericho. That's on the NBA thing that they shared. Yeah, Chris Jericho.
This match was really good. I personally liked
it. It was fine.
I liked it better than the Wrestle Kingdom
match.
It was
fine.
Really?
It was fine.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know if this was legit or not, but looked like Kenny maybe busted his nose a bit.
He did. He was bleeding through his nose. He broke his fucking nose.
Well, how do you know he didn't stick a blade up his nostril or some shit? Blading's allowed.
Just listen to yourself again. That's how I know. Didn't
he just snorted a
fucking daddy pig? Fucking
no,
Peppa Pig.
He just snorted a razor blade up there and gigged it.
No.
Okay.
He probably broke his nose.
Yeah. Sorry, Kenny.
Rest in peace, Kenny's nose.
But
sponsored by Kenny's nose.
Jericho ends up winning in the end with his new finisher of the Judas Effect.
Yeah, and underwhelming finish.
But I liked the way that it built, because it was like, this was the one thing he could do left. He did lion salts. Didn't fucking work. He tried doing the codebreaker. Didn't work. Tried fucking doing...
Well, he didn't go for the pin after the codebreaker, though.
Yeah, codebreaker
but Kenny was getting
now
up,
a signature.
Though.
Tried doing the Walls of Jericho. Didn't work. Judas Effect, more lethal than them all, apparently.
Yeah, it's just an elbow.
And then for,
which Cedric Alexander does all the time.
And then for Kenny, for those who are like, "Ooh, is his one-winged angel protected?" He didn't get to hit it on Chris, so it wasn't.
No,
like,
he tried a couple times.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that's the standard fare that seems like in the matches where Kenny loses, he didn't get to do his move.
Yeah, so ultra protected. So we're going. Oh, let's grade it.
Yeah. B. Yes, yes, yes. I'll give that a B plus. Very good main event.
Yeah. Jericho. But this is not over.
Jericho gets on the horn, the mic, and said basically the similar thing of all of his promos of saying, "I'm the one responsible for AEW for the sellout. You guys are booing me. You can all kiss my ass. He demands a
thank you.
I want a thank you. Blah blah blah." And then
second
markout
moment of the night.
All of a sudden, the crowd fucking roars because Jon Moxley is coming through the fucking crowd.
Yep.
He comes on in, hits his double underhook DDT, because I'm sure as shit they're not going to call it Dirty Deeds no more.
Probably not. Yeah, they didn't say a name for
it. Hits it on the official, kind of waves at Kenny, tries to hit the Dirty Deeds, but Kenny...
Hits the Dirty Deeds on the ref, too.
Yeah, I said that.
Did you? Yes. Oh, I wasn't listening to you then, clearly. Okay. We're sponsored by hearing aids.
Yes. If you want to listen to yourself shitting while you're eating Taco Bell because you're dealing with a shitty fire stick, hearing aids. So, anyways, as he goes for the double underhook DDT, he kind of Kenny charges him kind of through the ropes and they brawl all the way up. They had some poker chips at the top of the stage that was part of the stage dressing, accoutrement, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Ends up hitting the double underhook.
What the fuck
DDT
did you say?
Accoutrement?
What the fuck is that?
Eat a book.
What's accoutrement?
Accoutrement, not accoutrement. Jesus Christ. Anyway,
that sounds like the name of Jinder Mahal's vagina, accoutrement.
Yes. The double letter hook DDT on the poker chip.
What is it?
Shut up, I'm a cat.
I'm not going to move past
look
it.
Look it up later.
I don't even know how to spell it. Kucha Mahal.
Spell doesn't sound. Easier than shit. Anyway.
Spell doesn't sound? That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it spells just as it sound.
I don't know how it sounds. You're saying it weird.
Accoutrement.
What is that?
You guys still recording?
Yeah, I'm just irritated.
Oh, cool. Anyways,
are we done? No, we're good.
So, anyways, he ends up hitting the double underhook DDT on top of the poker chips.
How do you spell it?
And then
accoutrement.
And he ends up doing a backdrop off of the poker chips. And Kenny takes a nice hard bump off the stage onto an actual piece
of
hardness.
Is it accoutrement?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And so, but it didn't land on a mat, so it looked very nice and stiff and everything, and the crowd was chanting, and they were able to go.
That's a big word for a thingy. That's basically what it is.
Definition is thingy?
Well, basically.
Anyways, Moxley poses to close the show. The crowd is happy. They didn't go over time, so it wasn't, hey, we're going to see you tomorrow night, fade off. It was much better timed than All In. They got off right at the perfect moment. So, for that final segment, I will give that a fucking A+. That was a highlight of the show. The highlight, I would say, of possibly the wrestling year, damn near. Because I can't imagine, there hasn't been...
Oh,
I
my legs asleep.
Anything, I can't think of anything in any other company... In terms of returns, appearances, whatever, that gave me this reaction yet this year.
Yeah, me too.
I can't think of one.
I keep forgetting that this year has not been that long yet.
The
so
only
been,
one that might happen...
Holy shit, we're halfway through the year already.
Almost.
Almost, that's crazy.
The only thing that might happen would be the eventual moment where Hiromu Takahashi shows up.
Yes, that'll be huge.
That will be a markout moment, but that's not like an expected like Moxley.
Yeah.
So this could very well be the most unexpected return of the year. Yeah. Especially with everyone saying, oh, that video was well produced. And which it's stupid because it finally hit me today, especially when they showed the few backstage segments on the pre-show. AEW was well produced.
Yeah.
What the fuck was I thinking? Thinking that this was WWE because it's so well produced. If Moxie signs to AEW, he has access to AEW's resources, including how well and produced vignettes and videos can be. So, anyways, your overall grade for this show.
I'm going to say my overall grade is a B-.
And I will give it a solid B. Very strong. This is definitely in the upper echelon of pay-per-views I have watched so far this year. Absolutely.
Well, I've watched a lot of Best of Super Juniors lately.
Yeah, but those aren't pay-per-views.
I know they're not pay-per-views, but, like, I think that had an effect on me. It's because...
Maybe.
I've seen a lot of good stuff lately.
I actually haven't gotten to watch it yet, and so I almost want to say that that's not the case, because our grades came out extremely fucking considering the situation.
That's very true. I didn't think it was as good as All In was. We might be biased because we were actually at All In, so we might be biased on that one, but... this is kind of a weird show, because it did not start off phenomenally, and there was nothing particularly bad, except for I thought the six-man woman tag was bad. I didn't think that was good at all. I thought that was the really only bad mark. The rest was par or above, or, you know, above average. Best match of the night for me was the Lucha Bros versus the Young Bucks. And I think I liked Dustin and Cody better than I liked Kenny and Chris, too. So, yeah. Oh, we have a fan question.
An actual...
It's just one. Yeah, an actual one.
An actual...
Yes, for us.
That we didn't steal from
us. Yes, this is from Jordan. It says, favorite match of the night, biggest surprise. Well, we've kind of... Oh,
well,
shit.
Moxley... Kind of that one. Well, I didn't
biggest
say...
Biggest surprise...
Moxley.
But Awesome Kong was a close second. Because she hasn't been around in forever. She's been doing nothing. That was huge.
She's been acting in GLOW.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't been watching GLOW.
I haven't either, but
she hasn't been wrestling.
Yes.
Favorite match of the night. My favorite match of the night, I already said it, was Young Bucks and Lucha Bros. So thank you, Jordan, for that question.
And just to say something different, I guess I would say, and just for the pure emotion of everything, I would say Cody and Dustin was my favorite match of the night. God damn, was that good.
We cried.
So, anyways.
That has been it. Thank you to Firestick, Taco Bell, Hearing Aids, and...
Tupperware containers full of water
for washing rocks, for sponsoring today's podcast. Cero Miedo.
And thank you for being only elite.
I like that. You should keep doing that. Okay, goodbye. Right? Is that the ending? Do it again.
No!
Do it again!
I said it!
Well, do it again so I don't have to edit this.
Edit it out.
Thank you for being... only elite.
Oh, God. What the fuck?
I'm still not ending it.
Go to bed.
Okay, goodbye.